This is TWiT.
The city of Boston just joined the growing number of cities that we've been talking about recently to just say no to law enforcement's use of facial recognition. And this makes Boston the second largest city to do so, behind only San Francisco. So the question is, just what exactly are such a system's limitations and liabilities? Because, you know, the decision has been made now increasingly that the technology's currently rather profound limitations and liabilities are judged to outweigh its benefits. So I'm annoyed by the idea that the results of tests to detect bias might themselves be biased. It's one thing to not like the idea and to find it creepy, as I know we do, but that alone doesn't mean it doesn't work. The good news is the U.S. National Institute of Standards and Technology, our NIST, conducted their own analysis, the results from which were published late last year, and they are indeed quite eye-opening. NIST posed itself the question, how accurately do face recognition software tools identify people of varied sex, age, and racial background? Not surprisingly, NIST found that the answer depends upon the algorithm at the heart of the system, the application that uses it, and the data it's fed. However, they did also determine that the majority of face recognition algorithms exhibit strong demographic differentials. In this usage, the term differential means that an algorithm's ability to match two images of the same person varies between demographic groups. NIST's results, which were captured in their report titled Face Recognition Vendor Test, FRVT, Part 3, Demographic Effects, were and are intended to inform policymakers and to help software developers better understand the performance of their algorithms. The report quoted its author, Patrick Grother, an NIST computer scientist, and the primary author of the report. Patrick said, while it is usually incorrect to make statements across algorithms, we found empirical evidence for the existence of demographic differentials in the majority of the face recognition algorithms we studied. While we do not explore what might cause these differentials, this data will be valuable to policymakers, developers, and end users in thinking about the limitations and appropriate use of these algorithms. The study was conducted through NIST's Face Recognition Vendor Test Program, which evaluates face recognition algorithms submitted by industry and academic developers on their ability to perform different tasks. I need to take a sip of milk here.
Milk?
Actually, it's water. Yeah, oh, okay. I said milk. It's white. Water. The NIST study evaluated, get this, Leo, 189 software algorithms from 99 different developers.
It's amazing that there's that many. Holy cow.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. It's like, holy crap, 99 different sources.
Yeah.
I mean, and that tells you that there was a clear rush, you know, into this technology.
Oh, yes.
I no doubt a ton of venture capital was poured into these things.
Yep.
So that represents a large majority of the industry. The report focuses, I don't know what's happened here. Excuse me. It focuses on how well each individual algorithm performs one of two different tasks that are among face recognition's most common applications. The first task, confirming a photo matches a different photo of the same person in a database is known as one-to-one matching and is commonly used for verification work, such as unlocking a smartphone or checking a passport. The second, determining whether the person in the photo has any match in a database, is known as one-to-many matching and can, in theory at least, be used for identification of a person of interest. To evaluate each algorithm's performance on its task, the team measured the two classes of error the software can make: false positives and false negatives. Where a false positive means that the software wrongly considered photos of two different individuals to show the same person, and a false negative means the software failed to match two photos that are of the same person. These distinctions are obviously important because the class of error and the type of search performed can carry vastly different consequences depending upon real-world application. Patrick said, quote, in a one-to-one search, a false negative might be merely an inconvenience. For example, you can't unlock your phone. But the issue can usually be remediated by a second attempt. Whereas a false positive in a one-to-many search puts an incorrect match on a list of candidates that warrant further scrutiny. NIST's description of this noted that the thing that sets the publication apart from most other face recognition research is its concern with each algorithm's performance when considering demographic factors. For one-to-one matching, only a few previous studies have explicitly explored demographic effects. For one-to-many matching, none have. So, here are some details. To evaluate the algorithms, the NIST team used four collections of photographs containing 18.27 million images of 8.49 million people. All came from operational databases provided by the State Department, the Department of Homeland Security, and the FBI. The team did not use any images scraped directly from internet sources such as social media or video surveillance. The photos in the databases included metadata indicating the subject's age, sex, and either race or country of birth. Not only did the team measure each algorithm's false positives and false negatives for both search types, that is one-to-one and one-to-many, but it also determined how much these error rates varied among the tags, you know, the metadata. In other words, how comparatively well did the algorithm perform on images of people from different groups? Tests showed a wide range in accuracy across developers, with the most accurate algorithms producing many fewer errors. In other words, there's highly accurate facial recognition and quite crappy facial recognition. That's my term, not NIST's. The study focused upon the performance of individual algorithms and was able to reach five broad findings. First, for one-to-one matching, the team saw higher rates of false positives for Asian and African-American faces relative to images of Caucasians. The differentials often range from a factor of 10 to 100 times, depending upon the individual algorithm. Wow. False positives might present a security concern to the system owner, as they may allow access to imposters. Two, among U.S.-developed algorithms, there were similar high rates of false positives in one-to-one matching for Asians, African Americans, and Native groups, which include Native American, American Indian, Alaskan Indian, and Pacific Islanders. The American Indian demographic had the highest rates of false positives. Three. However, A notable exception was for some algorithms developed in Asian countries. There was no such dramatic difference in false positives in one-to-one matching between Asian and Caucasian faces for algorithms developed in Asia.
There you go.
What, Leo?
That's interesting. It shows it's training data, probably, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Patrick Grother emphasized that the NIST study did not explore the relationship between cause and effect. One possible connection, the area for research, is the relationship between an algorithm's performance and the data used to train it. Exactly as you said, Leo. He wrote, quote, "These results are an encouraging sign that more diverse training data may produce more equitable outcomes should it be possible for developers to use such data." The fourth conclusion, for one-to-many matching, the team saw higher rates of false positives for African-American females. Differentials in false positives in one-to-many matching were particularly important because the consequences could involve false accusations. In this case, the test did not use the entire set of photos, but only one FBI database containing 1.6 million domestic mugshots. And then their final conclusion, not all algorithms give this high rate of false positives across demographics in one-to-many matching. And those that are the most equitable also rank almost the most accurate. This last point underscores one overall message of the report. Different algorithms perform differently. So I thought that was really interesting. You know, there are 99 wannabes, and there are a bunch of crappy facial recognition solutions. You know, maybe you get what you pay for, or, you know, the point is, it's just the fact that something says, oh, yeah, we do AI and we have facial recognition doesn't mean that it's good AI or good facial recognition. That tells us that not all facial recognition algorithms are created equally, nor do they treat everyone equally. So that suggests that it's dangerous to lump all facial recognition into a single performance category or single performance assumption. It also means that if at some future time we decide that the technology has improved to the point where it is no longer mostly a liability, any solution that is proposed will need to be carefully tested for bias. And I can't imagine at this point that that would not happen. So I think that's been a very important lesson that's been learned.